Milk, minute, milk, minute, milk, minute, yeah.
Milk.
This is Maureen Farrell.
And Heather O'Neill.
And this is the Milk Minute.
We're midwives and lactation professionals,
bringing you the most up-to-date evidence for all things lactation,
so you can feel more confident about feeding your baby,
body positivity,
relationships,
and mental health.
Plus, we laugh a little or a lot along the way.
So join us for another episode.
Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Heather and I are having kind of a day already, and we're just beginning, so welcome to our absolute disaster.
Welcome to the Milk Minute. If this is your first episode that you've ever tuned into,
listen to a different one first.
Circle back. Get to know us a little better, and then maybe you'll feel a little bit more empathetic towards our situation today. We are riding low today on the heels of basically 3 weeks of illness in either of our households. Maureen's household, arguably worse because there was a lot of poop and vomit involved. My house was just general fatigue, respiratory illness, night terrors, husband gone hunting for long stretches of time.
Thankfully, I do not suffer from that affliction.
Oh, it's an affliction.
It is.
It is. It is. And we're thinking about getting an exorcism, a hunting exorcism.
I support that.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't pooped my pants today, so I'm considering this a good day. Don't know if either of my children have pooped their pants today, though, so.
Well, I've been going through the motions of just getting all the things done, like feeding the children only for them to not eat any of the food I made.
Obviously.
Like, as I'm scraping food down the disposal that they did not eat again because they've chosen to just photosynthesize, apparently, to grow instead of
consume food. And they do, though. They feel absolutely fine.
They do. Like, they intermittent fast for like a week at a time. Yeah. And it's so annoying. I'm scraping it down the sink and I'm just like, there are starving children all over the world, you know, and I'm like that person. And so I'm going through all the motions and then I show up to record today and I basically open my mouth to start talking to Maureen and just burst into tears. And so now I sound like this pre, you know, going on air, full swollen face, because it's just like sometimes you just have to be around another 30-something or 20-something, whoever's like living the same life as you right now, who's got kids, to just like really crack that nut of whatever you've been trying to hold together. So phone a friend.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really nice to be able to laugh and cry simultaneously with somebody who shares your struggles.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know, man. I don't know when it stops. Does it just stop when your kids get old enough that you don't have to like clean up their vomit anymore? When is that? What is that age? Can somebody tell me that?
How about what is the age where your kid stops speaking to you explicitly in Ferb Latin from Phineas and Ferb?
Oh, God.
Where instead of pig Latin, they add herb on the end of everything. So like, Aureen Merb. That's your name. Aureen Merb. And Ether Herb. It's horrific.
God,
and it makes
so
your
sorry.
Brain work way too hard.
Yeah.
And it's just very, very upsetting on the heels of all of the Pokemon information and the Minecraft information. We are moving out of the chronic whistling phase, which is great. So he'll still whistle, but then he'll stop himself and go, I noticed. And I'm like, and he's like, aren't you proud that I noticed? And I'm like,
Now notice 1 second earlier. So right now the thing that my oldest is doing that is driving all of us insane is he has like a dust mite allergy, right? So he like often has a little bit of post-nasal drip. And the way he's been clearing his throat is the most obnoxious, like I can't even replicate it. It is so obnoxious. It's like he opens his mouth fully and like opens his throat and just and it's loud and it like somehow reverberates all over the house. And my husband and I are about to like tear our ears out of our heads. But like also there's nothing we can actually do. Like we've tried to be like, hey, I think there's probably a more effective way to clear your throat. And he just, like, has no concept of what we're talking about. He's like, that's what I'm doing. Like, oh, okay.
Yeah, places my daughter has directly coughed on purpose. My toothbrush. Mm. Like, literally aims herself towards my toothbrush and coughs from the bottom of her lung. Directly into my mouth is another area
she's coughed. Just needs some, like, epithelial cells to get in there.
The moment I sit down with a bowl of yogurt, she comes over to cough directly into it. It like makes you want to take their face and just push them away from you.
is that part of what we call like being a toddler, just like directly assaulting us with body fluids?
Yeah, I think so.
That's actually what we're going to talk about today, everybody. I know that we were going to talk about toddlers and my update about nursing a toddler, but you still have a toddler. As well.
Yeah, I think she's not 4 yet, so that mm-hmm. was my question. Like, is she a toddler?
I kind of thought of Griffin as a toddler until he was 5, which maybe wasn't accurate. I don't know.
I mean, she certainly doesn't toddle anywhere. She climbs like a spider monkey up right. every single countertop, even if there's, like, knives or raw chicken on there. And
especially if there's knives and raw chicken.
It's like they're always trying to unalive themselves, you know? Like, what are they doing?
I just, like, it helps when I think of them as little scientists who are, like, trying to ask questions and prove theories, but I can only do that on good days. On bad days, I think of them as sociopaths.
Yeah, well, they are both. Yeah. And the worst, I think, might be when my daughter tries to discipline me the way she hears me discipline her.
Oh, my God.
And then when I try to say something nice and constructive, like, Heidi, you know, it's really not nice to tell mommy that you're going to put me in timeout when I give you the gummies that you asked me for. And then she says, it's not nice to do that when you give me the gummies you asked me for. And I'm like, are you copy? What's happening?
The copycat, my son has been on like a copycat thing, and he has a real talent for mimicking my inflection.
Oh, God.
And I was talking to my psychologist about it, and she was like, it usually works to just ignore him. And I was like, I think if I ignore him, I'm going to hit him. And I don't want to hit my child. But I think if I don't immediately address it, I will not be in control of myself.
Right. Right. And I have excused myself multiple times to go to the bathroom, and I lock the door. Mm-hmm. And they will both stand on the outside of the door and just bang on it repeatedly, screaming, Mommy.
Yeah, that's not the private space. Maybe go do laundry. Do they want to help?
They love doing laundry with me. Well, Heidi does. Theo is too afraid to go into the basement still for some reason.
Why? Your basement's like really nice.
I don't know. He's full of fear.
You have like a house basement.
I know.
Not like
it's very confusing. Yeah.
Interesting.
I'm sorry, guys.
We're beaten down. We are having a day.
We've lost our sparkle as moms. Are you guys feeling that? Email at us.
I feel like I'm not gonna like sparkle again until I'm like much older, and my children are gone, and I'm like I am like a wise old woman. But there's so much time between now and then.
Yeah, I think that Jennifer Garner might have messed up our expectations in that 13 going on 30 movie. 30 Flirty and Fabulous. It's like, no, that's not happening for us.
Well, especially not those of us who had kids in our 20s. Like so now a lot of my friends age mates are starting to have children, like who are like 33 to 35 or whatever. And I just, first of all, I am full of like very quiet feelings that I just don't think are constructive to tell them that like I think their lives might be about to be flushed down a toilet like really slowly in like a joyful way, you know, in the way that children do. Yeah. And also I'm just like, oh, that's why I've been so much more tired for so much longer.
Yeah, but also, like, to be fair to those people that are just starting out or you're pregnant, you're always going to have to grieve the loss of something with any big change as an adult. So you get a big new job, you're going to have to grieve the loss of maybe your old office, your old dynamics with coworkers, things like that. You have a baby, it's very joyous, but we're also grieving the loss of, like, napping ourselves, fixing our hair completely, pooping alone, you know, and like now Maureen
all the,
and
all
I,
the extra money we ever had, right? I'm grieving the loss of that.
Right. Maureen and I are now far enough into this that like the initial grieving process is over and now it's a combination of like boredom,
despair.
Oh, God. Like it's like it's like the frog in the pot of boiling water that doesn't know it's boiling yet because it's such a slow boil, and then all of a sudden you're
just figured it out.
Yeah, you're like, oh my God, I need Prozac. Like, when did this happen?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so I guess the message here is like, build in some new things for you.
I don't know
when
that,
you're going through these changes, if you can.
I don't know that we have a real message. I think my thought today is just like, we're here with you if you feel like your life is in the bottom of a dumpster fire. And we'll get through it together. I don't know how. I don't know that it gets better, but at least we're all at the bottom together.
If you are living a hellscape where your child is pooping their pants while sitting on the toilet because they couldn't get their pants off.
Oh, God.
You're not alone.
My son did that the other night.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
This diarrhea has been bad, guys. And he was on the toilet and he was like, I'm still pooping.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And my toddler broke her wrist.
Yeah.
Because that's something that children do, apparently. And when and let me tell you, my mother-in-law was babysitting. And I came home and she was like, Lyra's been a little bit fussy. Like she fell down and she cried, but like I don't really think she's hurt. I don't really know what's going on. And I watched her for a couple hours because I was like, are you hurt? Like, because she was using her arms fine, but then when she would go to crawl, she would cry. Like when she'd put that direct pressure on it. And I was just like, should I take her in? Should I not? Like, oh, we're going to have to go to urgent care or the ER right now because of what time it is. And that's a pain in the ass. And like, what if it's not broken? Then I just wasted 4 hours of my fucking life on this. I finally decided to take her in. And then I look at her and I was like, I have to wash my child before I go to the ER. Thinking like, you bring a toddler in with a broken bone, you already have some like greater scrutiny. And like, my child was just filthy head to toe. Like, probably had been sweaty and then like went outside into like the dusty dirt and just got like caked. And she had like food on her. You know how toddlers get. They're just crusty.
They go from zero to disgusting in like 4 minutes.
So I like bathed my toddler and then went to the ER with her. Because I was like, I would love to not have CPS called on me for my child having a broken arm. And then we get there, and she's like chiller, doesn't care about this broken wrist one bit unless she's trying to crawl. So the lady at the front desk, like, how can I help you? And I'm like, I think my kid broke her arm. And they were like, that one? Okay. And so, of course, they don't get us in until everybody else is in there. The ER is full of children for some reason, only children.
Oh, God.
And then, like, she was totally fine. The doctor comes in, doesn't even touch her. He's like, she's using her arm fine. And I was like, I still need you to x-ray it, okay? And he's like, but she's displaying a full range of motion. I was like, that's great. Can we please x-ray my child's arm? So they do, and they're all like, oh, wow, she's not even crying. And I was like, none of you believe me. Wonderful. You know, like half an hour later, he comes in. He's like, yep, it's broken.
Yeah, I Thank told you. You.
I did know that already.
See how I drove all the way here?
Yeah.
And well, then wait, you're better than me because Heidi was limping one day when she was Lyra's age, and she's just hopping around, smiling, laughing, having a great time. For a minute, I was like, maybe she's just like trying out this new skill, hopping. And I was like, I videoed it. I'm like, look how funny she is. And then I went to get her hip x-rayed because I was like, maybe she's got hip dysplasia like I had when I was a baby. And they're like, her hip is fine, but we're pretty sure she probably had the tibia fracture that toddlers get from jumping off of high things.
Oh, my gosh.
So, like, she just casually had a broken leg, and I was, like, videoing it. Like, oh, my God, she's so cute. But she never cried.
I mean,
she was never
I get
upset.
It, though. If Lyra had not cried, I would have been like, okay.
They have, like, fine. Rubber bones. I don't know.
Yeah, well, and I guess it's, like, a buckle fracture, so it's not, like, it's not, like, broken in half or anything. It's just, like, the bone, like, bulged out where it got too compressed.
Yeah.
And, you know, everyone's like, how did this happen? How did it happen? I'm like, literally, she fell down while running. Nothing exciting. Like, my children chase each other across the house full speed, screaming like demons. And usually they both fall in the process. And I was told I wasn't home, which gave me dirty looks, of course, from all the doctors. I was like, I wasn't home. My mother-in-law told me she fell while running on the floor. Nothing exciting. Yeah, and, like, the orthopedist we went to was a huge asshole. Just
aren't
awful.
They kind of all?
I don't know. Yeah, like, I thought that would be fine because it was, like, an early morning scheduled appointment. Maybe not enough time for anybody to get pissed off. We were, like, first patient of the day, you know. And I go in and, I mean, this was probably my bad, but she was like, what happened? And I was like, well, she has a buckle fracture. And she was like, what happened? And I was like, she has a buckle fracture. And then she just gave me this look. I was like, oh, you mean how did that happen? Yes, I can tell you that immediately. She was already pissed at me.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, as she's telling me then that she's going to give her a hard cast up to her shoulder. And I was like, what? And as she's doing this, like, my daughter is on the table with the nurse, just, like, letting the nurse do whatever she wants to her arm and the brace and everything. And she's like, well, children this age just rip these braces off, and any cast below the elbow, they just rip off, and they don't like them. Like, as my daughter behind her is, like, displaying none of this behavior. And I was like, okay, but is the brace she has on now as effective for healing the fracture as a hard cast? And she was like, well, I guess so. It does say that in the literature. And I was like, okay. And you're saying the only reason you want to put a hard cast above her elbow is because you don't want her to pull it off? And she was like, yes, I suppose that's all. And I was like, okay. So what I'm thinking here is that it's really my problem if my daughter's fussy about the cast. And it's also going to be a problem for me that because she eats with her hands, if I can't remove the cast, it's going to smell like a dead animal in a week. And she was like, oh, yeah, it's awful when parents bring babies in who've been eating with their hands. And I'm like, mm-hmm, so awful. It sounds like it's more awful for the parents and the children who had to wear those casts, which she did not like me saying. And I was like, so I think I'm going to stick with the removable brace if you're saying it's as effective for healing if we can keep it on. And she was so mad. And I was like, okay, so we're doing nothing today. Bye. Like why am I so here? Mad? I don't know.
You still get paid.
Well,
I just don't
and
understand.
She gave me this look like I was being a negligent parent, you know, and she was like, oh, well, we'll see what happens when you come back in 3 weeks. Like, I'm going to come back in having not had my daughter wear the brace the whole time. I get it that, like, that might be the case with some people, but, like, you don't have to be that rude.
No.
If that's what happens when I come back in, that's what happens, you know, and that's my own damn fault. But, like, I am absolutely going to opt for a removable version so my child does not rot away like a pile of compost in her cast. Like, Jesus. Even my grandma, when I told her, she was like, oh, yeah, your Aunt Madeline had one and it was disgusting by the time we got it off. She was like 2 and she broke her wrist.
No.
Yeah.
Honestly, you know, just at least you brought her. You know, yeah, just I know. Be like, listen, lady, this is only one child that you've actually seen. Imagine all the other kids who aren't even wearing a brace. Yeah. Who should be?
Yeah, and I think she'll be fine. She's only ripped it off in a rage like 2x. That's pretty good. And then let me put it back on, pointing to it, going, ow.
Oh. Well, I did see a meme the other day, and I absolutely cracked up because it was so accurate. So before we get into the episode, I just wanted to read you this meme from Witty Idiot at Steven Caserba, maybe? It says, what do you get when you mix onset seasonal affective disorder, good old-fashioned everyday anxiety, ADHD and depression, a midterm election, one less hour of sunlight followed by a full blood moon, total lunar eclipse? MFers, we're about to find out.
Oh, God. This is unfortunate.
And then we recorded this episode. Reminder that we both do consults. So if you still think we're emotionally stable enough to care for you, those links are always in the show notes. We do reserve the recording days to take our filters off.
Yes.
And be ourselves. But I do promise you we leave it here in the studio and we will focus on you and your problems if you want to be seen by us.
So far, I have not become hysterical in a professional setting yet.
Not yet. Not yet. We pack it so far down that when it
that
comes
we
out.
We have to let it out on a forever recorded
podcast. My gosh. Patrons to thank. We've got Ashton M. from Lumberton, Texas, and Susan from British Columbia, Canada.
Canada.
Susan and Ashton, thank you so much for becoming patrons. Your support means the world to us and helps support the podcast financially, pays for our audio engineer, and the podcast transcriptions that we have done professionally. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's take a minute to thank one of our sponsors, and when we come back, we're going to answer a question about pumping at work.
Great. All right, it's Maureen here, and I want to tell you that I have finally set up a link so you can instantly book virtual lactation consults with me.
Thank the Lord.
I know, Heather. It took me a long time to take the leap from in-person visits to virtual, but I did it.
You're going to love it. I love doing virtual consults. They are the best. It serves more people. I'm so glad you took the plunge.
Thank you. And if you guys out there want to book some time with me, you can go to highlandbirthsupport.com and then click on my lactation services tab.
Is that HIGHLAND?
Yes.
Okay.
I will see you on Zoom, everybody. Okay, welcome back. We have a question from a listener. Why don't you read it? Because I think I have a good answer.
Okay. She actually asked this in the Facebook group originally. So if you're new to us, we do have a Facebook support group called Breastfeeding for Busy Moms and the Milk Minute Podcast. Mm-hmm. And this is from Aaliyah Paez from California. And Aaliyah says, hello. Have any of you ever taken two pumps to work? I'm a special education teacher, currently 32 weeks pregnant with number 6, and I'm planning on getting the Spectra Synergy Gold and Willow Go. I'm planning on pumping 4 times while away from my baby, once in the car, once during teacher PE, once at lunch, and once during afternoon recess. During teacher PE, I must monitor my own students, and I have recess duty once a week, so those will need to be portable sessions. However, I want to use a wall pump for the car and lunch sessions to ensure proper removal of milk. Is this too ambitious? I know it won't be wise to use a wearable exclusively, and after dealing with the formula shortage this past year, I really want to do all I can to provide this baby with adequate breast milk.
If you can afford it, this is a great idea.
Yeah, love it.
I did this because I was like, look, most of the time while I'm at work, I have time to sit with my Spectra that works best, but sometimes I don't. And if I'm at a birth, no idea when I'm going to be able to sit and pump. So I would actually put my wearable on when I knew like things were getting to the point where I couldn't sit and pump, even if I didn't use it and it was just sitting in my bra. But I could turn it on randomly if I needed to and then just keep it on until I could empty it. I think it's a great idea when you have a little bit of an unpredictable work life.
Mm-hmm. I love it. And, you know, as far as the 4 times, so she was going to pump 4 times. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, probably by baby number 6, she's got a pretty good idea about her milk storage capacity. And we will link that episode in the show notes. Yeah. So if you're wondering about milk storage capacity, it kind of depends on how much you can hold at a time, on mm-hmm. how many times you actually need to pump at work to maintain your supply.
Yeah.
So go check that out if you have any questions. And Aaliyah, we love your plan. And I don't know that the Synergy Gold is necessary. You could just get the regular Spectra S2 and save your money. And that way you can afford the Willow Go, which is not cheap. It's cheaper than the regular Willow, but it's still not cheap. So that might be a nice compromise if you're looking to save some dollars. And of course, I always send people to Mercari, the app Mercari. It seems like that's where everyone is selling their breast pumps new in box.
Yeah.
People that are choosing to formula feed are still getting their pump free through insurance and then selling it on Mercari. And I had a Spectra S2 delivered to my doorstep 7 hours after I ordered it for $100.
That's crazy.
New in box. Yes.
Wild.
With a little backpack.
That's cute.
I know. So check it out. And no, you're not being too ambitious. I would never tell anyone they're being too ambitious. Follow your pumping dreams.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I have a toddler now, Heather. Lyra is like, what, almost 20 months or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, she's like a real human now. She has thoughts and opinions and plans.
So many plans.
yeah, we're still nursing. And it is really, really different from the last time. And, you know, for those of you who haven't listened to like every single episode absolutely obsessively, it's okay. We still love you too. Episode 10, I think. We talked about nursing toddlers, and I talked a lot about my experience with Griffin, who was like kind of what a lot of people think about when they think about nursing a toddler who just constantly wants boob and is like really pushy about it and nurses all the freaking time. And Lyra's not like that, and I didn't know it could be this way.
Okay, well, that's good to know. So what's Lyra's schedule like then? Does she want it definitely at certain times? Does she ever do the drive-by feedings? Like, tell me what's happening.
So okay, let me start from the beginning. I was a lot more intentional about setting boundaries with her around 12 months because I didn't want her to be like Griffin was. I wanted to make those like really easy boundaries to set. So she doesn't do a lot of the drive-by nursing unless I let her. Like, she would. If I just sat there topless, I'm sure she'd come over for a sip now and then. But if she asks for milk and I'm like, what about a snack? She usually goes for the snack, which is crazy. Especially if she's, like, happy and it's the middle of the day. Like, she usually could go all day without nursing. She likes to nurse at nap time and bedtime and sometimes at wake-up time. But she does not have to nurse at all those times. So sometimes we just nurse like once a day, and sometimes it's like all day when she's having diarrhea and vomiting like the last week.
So that actually probably brings up questions for people. So if your kid is mostly just nursing morning and night, and then you have this random illness and they nurse all day, is there anything in there? You know what I mean?
Maybe.
Maybe.
But does it matter? It's always my question, right?
I know. I think we spend so much time when they're little, mm-hmm. worrying about supply that we forget that it doesn't really matter when they're older.
It doesn't. And that's the thing. Like, you know, when she was feeling really sick, we definitely nursed about 10 times as much as we usually do. And that's fine. And did she get more milk? Yeah, probably a little bit. You know, I'm sure my body was like, well, better like, you know, start up the old engine again and get things going. But like, am I suddenly engorged now that I'm like away from the house and not nursing her all day? No, not at all. I think like I probably heard some more letdowns than I usually have after like a full day of her nursing all the time. But just, it's not that much. It's not that significant. It's mostly like she's nursing for comfort at that point. And the comfort isn't that her belly's full. It's the like sucking process. You know, like that's what does the hormonal like comfort thing in their body. So, yeah, is she using me as a pacifier then? 100%. Who cares? That's fine.
Yeah. I mean, I guess as long as it doesn't bother you. Mm-hmm. Then it's a win-win for everybody.
Yeah, and, like, she wasn't eating very much and vomiting. So I was like, any fluid we can get down is great.
Yeah,
so
I did see a question recently in the group about, should I give my 3-month-old Pedialyte?
No.
Because she's sick or is breast milk good enough? Breast milk's fine. Mm-hmm. It's 80% water. So as long as they're nursing, they're drinking.
Yeah, and I think there was at least one day, Lyra, this week, like, didn't eat anything and barely drank anything. She had milk and a popsicle.
Yeah.
She's fine. She was a little dehydrated, but she had like the minimum diapers that I felt okay with. Mm-hmm. But it's really nice to have that because she'll pretty much, if she feels like crap, she'll nurse, you know? But the interesting thing with her is though, like with Griffin, anytime I offered him boob, he would take it. Anytime. He was willing. Sometimes I offer her and she's like, no, I'm busy. I'm like, I'm sorry. What?
Does it hurt your feelings?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And my year and a half year old basically looks at me like I'm an inconvenience to her for offering her a food of my body.
Yeah.
Ouch. Stab me in the heart.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a little bit indifferent toward it a lot of the time, and it is a huge 180 from my last toddler nursing experience. And that's I'm just funny. Like, is this because her life is so much more interesting because she has a really entertaining older brother? Is it just her personality? Is it because I was, like, much more intentional about, like, getting her used to not nursing when I didn't want to and taking snacks instead, kind of in that 12, 13-month
range? The answer is yes.
Yeah. Right.
All of it.
Yeah, but it's interesting. And, you know, like, I was just sick and, like, super dehydrated as well. And don't worry about your supply at this point with toddlers, people. Like, if I had dried up this week, I don't think she would have cared. She would still have nursed, you know. And it doesn't matter. Like, she's still healthy. It's okay if this is the end of nursing. It's not. I'm still making milk because I think at this point my body's just, like, Old Faithful, you know.
And it doesn't make it gross, by the way. If they're not transferring that much milk, It does not make it anything but nursing.
Yeah.
You know, it's nursing serves many, many purposes for development, for emotional health, as well as nutrition, antibodies. I mean, the volume of milk, it does not make it more okay or less okay socially.
Yes.
You know, so, like, let's just say that also.
Yeah. And, yeah, it's just – it's interesting. I just really marvel at it sometimes when, like, my daughter comes up and, like, asks for milk in the way that I taught her to instead of ripping my shirt off and trying to remove a breast by herself. She, like, what I taught her, well, for a while she was using the milk sign. She decided no more. That sign does not exist to her anymore. Now she points to the one she wants and signs for more.
Oh, that's
sits
so
on
cute.
My lap, you know, gets comfy and points.
Oh, she does the more sign where she puts her two little pinchers together.
Yeah, it's really cute.
Well, how about behavior, though? Like, is her latch any different? Because we hear a lot about...
Yeah, her latch sucks.
Really? So we hear a lot about older babies causing nipple sensitivity.
Yeah.
And I would like your opinion on this.
Yeah. I don't think she gave me a single nipple injury until after 12 months.
Wow.
And she has twice bitten me, not like... I can't remember. It was, like, the first time, like, something startled her while she was nursing. And I don't even remember how the second one happened. I just looked down and I was like, scab on my nipple. Weird. But now she has teeth. She didn't have to have any teeth the first year, really. And, yeah, she's just lazy about it. Like, when she does nurse sometimes, especially in the middle of the day when she's distracted, you know, it's like she'll, like, latch on and then, like, slowly turn her head around, look at stuff and watch a TV show. And but it does the I think the combined problem is it doesn't really hurt me. My nipples are just have no nerves right now. And, you know, she has teeth. Her mouth is really different. She's used to using her mouth in a different way. She doesn't take bottles or anything like that. So that combination then kind of does allow more injury because, like, I'm not paying attention and she doesn't need a good latch. She doesn't, like, rely on a good latch to get all her food, right?
So how do you fix it?
Well, right now I'm not fixing it, but you can. I mean, so if it's bothering me, like the other day I had a little scab on my nipple and I was like, that does hurt a little bit, actually. So what I go through then, if I'm like, I would like a better latch, is to make her actually sit or lay down, not, like, stand and wiggle her butt the whole time she's nursing, right? For her and I, like, koala usually works best, or side-lying. So sometimes I will just refuse to nurse her unless we're laying down because she has a great latch side-lying. But she's not distracted then, right? We're, like, in bed. So sometimes I'm just like, hey, you want to nurse? Let's go up to bed. So we go lay down, you know, and I look at her and I'm like, stick out your tongue. And she sticks out her tongue, and then I give her my nipple, and she opens and has her tongue already out to trough. And I think that's a lot of the problem people have with toddlers is they stop troughing with their tongue, especially if they're not thumb suckers and they're not pacifier babies. Mm-hmm. They just don't need that for anything else, right? Mm-hmm. That, or a lot of people complain that they can just feel the top teeth, like, no matter what. Mm.
And I think it's because they chin tuck all the time.
Yep.
So they do that thing because they can, where your nipple's really stretchy, and they have such good suction that they will put the nipple in their mouth, and then they'll tuck their chin and kind of, like, smush their nose around on your breast. And it's, like, impossible to not have the teeth involved.
Yeah. So what helps me with that is if we do sideline nursing, but I flip her upside down.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Because then she has to just change the angle of her head to make it work. And it's backwards and it works so much better.
And it's more interesting.
Yeah, and she kicks me in the head the whole time. And what else could you ask for, right? She, like, shoves her toes in my ear and what
Oh, my gosh.
But it actually works really well when I'm feeling sensitive, when I'm feeling like every time she latches, I can feel her stupid little top teeth. Like, and that's you start to think, you look at them and you're like, those fangs of doom.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Other questions that I'm thinking of just right off the top of my head that I've heard from other people are, how do you know how much water they need during the day if you're nursing irregularly? And, I mean, I think I know what you're going to say, but I'll let you speak to it.
Okay. Well, my kids both love to drink water, and so I just always have a cup of water out for them all day long, and they usually drink it. But I, at this age, unless your child is, like, you know they're still drinking large volumes of breast milk, which some are at a year and a half, just don't think of milk as, like, hydration then. Think of it as, like, a vitamin they're taking, and give them the amount of water they would have if they're not having, you know, milk or formula.
Mm-hmm. And also, kids are kind of weirdos the way they eat. The toddlers are. They'll eat, like, 500 calories a day, and sometimes they'll eat all of it in the morning, and then they will meet their caloric requirement, and then they just don't want to eat the rest of the day.
Or sometimes they'll do, like, every other day.
Right. It's super weird. The worst. It's super weird. But the main thing is they're neurologically intact, which means that we can rely on them to let us know when they're hungry and thirsty to a point. Now, if you happen to notice that they're super grumpy, always offer a drink and a snack.
Seriously.
Because they get really grumpy. And sometimes they don't know what to ask for. They're, like, all verklempt, you know? Yes. And then you're like, you know what? You need some strawberries. And they're like, oh, my God, I did need strawberries. So, like, they're not going to let themselves die from hunger or thirst. But they might have some, like, mood irregularities, much like us.
Well, it's funny you say that. So I told you I ran into your clients at Audra State Park the other day. That was lovely. So, like, we were ascending this, like, stone staircase, like, up to them at the top of this, like, beautiful cliff outlook, and my children were just melting the fuck down, like, losing it. And we get to the top, and I was like, oh, hey, so good to see you. Okay, children, who's hangry? Everybody, let's sit down and have water and food right now.
Like, right
you
now.
Are losing your minds. I'm losing my mind. So lovely to see you, happy couple with your new baby and your cute dog, but we are all losing it over here.
Yeah, one time, this is so random, but maybe the last time I ever took a child into the woods by myself, I had picked up food from Kroger on the way to bring Theo by myself to Cooper's Rock in West Virginia, and he chose egg rolls, okay, from Kroger.
Sure.
Whatever. Fine.
Yeah.
And he had been eating them regularly, so, like, I knew he liked them. Oh, no, not today.
No.
So we get to the same point, meltdown point, and I'm like, oh, lucky for you, mommy brought egg rolls. And he took the last egg roll and throws it directly into the pile of leaves near the cliff.
I thought you were going to say he threw it off the cliff.
Near the cliff. But then was sad that it was gone.
Sure.
And was hungry.
Sure was.
And now I'm like, for a split second, I was like, maybe I could find it in the leaves. And then I was like, Heather, no. Like,
like, maybe also I'll find a rattlesnake. There's so many rattlesnakes at Cooper's Rocks.
Know.
It's crazy.
Don't go into the woods, everyone. How
no,
many
no.
times
go
have I said
woods.
This?
Go to the woods. We did, oh my God, that state park. So it was my husband's birthday. And he was like, I just want to go for a family hike. Like, it's been so long since we did that. And I was like, okay, you know, am I a little bit stressed out when we get there? And I was like, okay, like, you're bringing the backpack. Can you also bring, like, a baby carrier? Make sure you have wipes and diapers and snacks and water. And he was like, got it all. Of course, when we're, like, a mile out the trail, we realize we do not have a baby carrier. And our toddler is having a complete meltdown. And it's like, I remembered this trail when we had been to last when Griffin was, like, four, being, like, really cool and scenic. And, like, oh, there's a boardwalk with railings. Like, it'll be great. No. No, the bottom rung on the railings was, like, a foot and a half high over, like, a sheer drop-off over the river that Lyra could easily just have, like, walked off of.
I'll say it again. Don't go into the
woods. And Griffin, who now is very strong and able, was literally, like, scaling, like, bouldering, you know, while Lyra was, like, teetering near edges. And I was just – then she refuses to hold my hand. Guys, this independence thing of, like, not needing me, not needing to nurse all the time is not the only thing. Like, Griffin was a clinger. Stage 100 would never let go of me. I didn't even have to hold his hand in public because he would cling to my leg. And it was great, though, because I was like, I don't need to keep track of this kid. If somebody tries to kidnap him, they're getting bitten. And because yeah. He was a biter.
Oh, God.
And he will never leave my side. Lyra will willingly just walk into traffic. She'll walk off into the woods alone. Doesn't
Same.
Care.
With Heidi.
Yeah. If I try to hold her hand, there is no greater offense that I could do her.
Yeah.
It is insane. So, yeah, I ended up, like, sitting on the side of this trail nursing her while, like, just feeling terrible while my husband and son just, like, hiked ahead. I was like, stop waiting for us. Like, just don't. It's making me feel worse about this whole situation.
Yeah, just
that,
go.
Like, everybody's waiting on us.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, go swim in the river because it was November 6th and it was 85 degrees. I was like, great, this is horrifying, but go swim in the river. And I'm just going to nurse this baby on the side of the trail and then try to somehow get all the way down to you without holding her hand.
Well, I think a lot of first of all, we need to take a little break to thank a sponsor.
Okay, yes.
And when we come back, I have more questions about nursing a toddler because I never did nurse a toddler. Although Heidi still asks if she can suck on my nipples from time to time. Don't fall for it, folks. Once they stop doing it for a certain amount of time, they can't be trusted to do it correctly. Well, she can't be trusted. All right, we'll be right back. I tell all my patients who are brand new parents to put a list of soothing techniques on the refrigerator so they can both remember what they've already tried for soothing baby.
I like to put a happy tummy on that list. It's a natural herbal wrap that soothes and relieves pain instantly, and it's so fuzzy.
It's so great. It helps baby sleep at night, resolves colic, gas, or constipation, and it's great because it has a little cute animal on the front for when they're doing tummy time, which provides gentle pressure to help them get their toots out.
And you know what? They're not just for babies. They have them for teens and adults, too.
So if you're struggling with those period pains, get your herbal warm Happy Tummy Wrap today by going to happytummy.com. And if you love us, enter promo code MILKMINUTE10 for 10% off.
That's MILKMINUTE10 for 10% off your Happy Tummy.
Thank you so much for supporting the show.
Heather, when you were nursing Heidi, did you get thirsty every single time?
Every single time I sat down to nurse, it was like the Sahara Desert had taken up residence in my mouth.
Same. And my go-to drink right now is Liquid IV.
Oh, me too. Liquid IV makes your water work harder because it has a hydration multiplier in it that's great tasting, non-GMO, and it actually has cellular transport technology that delivers hydration to the bloodstream faster and more efficiently than water alone.
You can also get their immune support blend, energy blend, or even one that helps with your sleep health.
My personal favorite is lemon lime, and I think it actually makes me drink water 2 times faster, which is always handy when you have a screaming baby in the room.
I really like the tangerine, and if you want to try that today, you can go to the link in our show notes and use our discount code MILK_MINUTE for 15% off your order.
That's MILK_MINUTE for 15% off your Liquid IV today. Happy drinking. Welcome back, everybody. Okay, I got questions.
Okay.
More questions.
I'm ready.
you were just talking about nursing in public. Yes. So let's talk about nursing a toddler in public, because a lot of people have questions about this. Like, do you just save the nursing for at home? What if they're having a meltdown and requesting the breast when you're out in public? The popping on and off, the maximum nipple exposure, you know, twiddling, like the whole behavior stuff that happens in public. How are we supposed to manage that? Because that would that would really get me. I think that would get me.
It does. So Lyra doesn't usually want to nurse in public unless there's a meltdown, which I'm fine with. Griffin was different. We nursed every fucking place in the universe all the time till he was like 4 years old. but I – so like at this point, you know, I've collectively breastfed for like 5.5 years or something. I'm cool with it. And I do have giant boobs, and they do just come all the way out at the park and wherever else we are. And that's okay. And I have had people say weird stuff about it. Whatever. I'm okay with it. But if that's not your thing, the most discreet way that I've nursed her is in a carrier, especially if she has a big bucket hat on. You know, those hats that just like give them like a halo of brim, because that kind of covers my whole boob. Or most of it, or like if she pops on and off in the carrier with like the hood or the hat, you can't really tell, and it's fine. So if she's like being really fussy and needs to nurse on and off, I usually just throw her in the carrier. Or I'll just like, you know, instead of pulling my boob over my shirt, I pull it under just so I have like a little like screen if I need to like let it fall over my nipple for a minute while she decides whatever she's doing with her life. Until she wants to nurse again. And you are going to flash some nip at an old man that didn't expect it. You know, it's going to happen. And some little kid is going to be like, Mommy, why can I see that lady's boob? You know? And it's okay. It's going to be fine.
You just yell, come on over.
Feeding the world. No, I mean, it's most of the time people don't say anything, even if they're thinking weird stuff, you know, because they want to be polite and they think they're more polite than you, right? But really, like, you're going to probably have uncomfortable, weird, awkward moments, and it's okay because that's what having a child is. If it wasn't that, it's your five-year-old telling everybody in the Walmart bathroom that you have your period or that you just made a really stinky poop. or it's, you know, your nine-year-old telling somebody about, like, your vagina or, like... Yeah. It's fine. It's just part of parenthood.
Yeah.
And if other people have a problem with that, that's not your problem.
Let's dig into that a little bit more. And I think this kind of ties back with where we started the show today. I think a lot of people that have toddlers are real tired.
Yes.
Like emotionally tired, because it's like playing chess all day long with an emotionally unstable terrorist.
Yeah, and who's like just like actively trying to harm themselves. Yeah.
Yeah, and so there are people out there who are fine with it.
You like, know,
they parent just fine, and they're not physically and spiritually and emotionally affected by their toddler. I am.
We're not those people.
Is it okay?
I didn't believe that those people existed, to be totally honest, until I really started to become an active midwife. And I would catch babies for people it was like number 10, number 6, number 8. And I'm just like, who in their right mind can have this many children and be sane? And I started asking blatantly, being like, is motherhood hard for you? And they were like, no, it's the most joyful thing. It's so, or like, it's the easiest thing in my life. Like, my job is really hard and I hate my job, but I love being a mom. And I'm like, cool. I'm the opposite. And I'm okay with that. And it did take a long time for me to realize, like, one, I really wanted to be a mother, and it was not what I thought it was going to be. Like, my nervous system does not respond the way that I wanted it to my children.
Same. And it's confusing because I'm a very caring person, and I would say that I'm not that selfish.
It's not being selfish.
But it feels selfish.
It does.
When you feel like you can't meet their every need, or no matter when you do it, it's never right.
Yeah, I think I've come around much more to the realization that I may never – like, be at peace while parenting. And that's okay. I'm still a little bit annoyed about that. Like, I I'm like a calm parent most of the time, and I think I'm a very good parent, but it takes a huge emotional and physical toll on me. I mean, I just feel wrecked by the end of a day with my children. And I have two. You have two.
Yeah.
You know, like, and at the end of a day working, say, like, I am at a very long birth with a Primip, like, doing lots of physical support. And, you know, say it was, like, a really crazy thing and I had to manage a hard shoulder. So, like, I come home at the end of the day feeling good after that. Mm-hmm. But after a day of, like, just doing, like, normal things with my two children, I feel worse.
Yeah. Can I tell you a low point?
Yeah.
So this weekend, my husband was gone for 4 days in a row. So there was no work to be done other than mothering.
Yeah.
And so I could no longer hide behind, I would be such a better mother if I didn't have all these other things to do, because I literally just put all the other things to do out of my head because I knew it wasn't an option. And it was still hard. And I think I was worse at it because I didn't have the distractions that I feel good at, you know? And so we had a rough morning on Sunday. I won't get into too many details, but and I love my neighbor girlfriend. Okay. She's like 8 years old.
Yeah.
And she is super cute. But my daughter ran over to play with her and I ran over to get her. And Heidi was still in her pajamas, and so was I at like 11 a.m. And this little girl was like, she's been kind of grumpy. And I said, yeah, I know. I'm sorry. I don't know what's going on with her. And she goes, just one suggestion. And I was like, okay. And she goes, maybe if you got her out of her pajamas, she wouldn't feel like that.
Wow.
And I was like, I am going to unalive myself.
You're like, that was some shade from an 8-year-old.
I was like, you know what? You're probably right.
No.
And you're probably a better mom than me.
Sundays are pajama days.
I know. I was like, buddy, if I could get myself out of these pajamas, I would have.
Yeah.
But thank you for the hot tip. You know, and it's just – getting a toddler and myself out of pajamas is harder for me than solving a marketing funnel issue for business.
Yes. Yeah, it's hard. I mean, I don't know. I don't think there's a way to fundamentally change myself so that motherhood is easy. Like, you know, I think there's things I can do to make it easier.
Yeah.
But I'm never going to be able to, like, make it so that being touched a certain amount by my children doesn't, like, trigger sensory problems for me. You know, like, I'm never going to be able to change the fact that, like, when my children hit a certain amount of decibels, I just have to walk away.
Right. You know, I feel like every time I try to actually parent, like, I'm in discipline mode or I'm in explanation mode of, like, this happened, so I'm trying to make sure you understand. I feel like there's a British lady that's about to come on and say, outcome unknown, where it's just like, who knows if it's sinking in, if I'm doing more damage, if it's going to be okay. And time will tell. How much time?
I don't know. But so there was some time, I think it was when I was pregnant with Lyra, and I went to my midwife, who's a friend of mine, and I didn't know what I was going to do. And I just, like, cried to her. Because I was like, I can't have two children. It's too much. And she was just like, look, like, it doesn't matter what you do. Like, you're a great parent. You're never going to be, like, a horrible, abusive person. Like, you're not. You're going to do your best. And your kids are going to be who they are. Like, she was like, my children were awful. They're wonderful humans now. I know them. They're my age. You know, they're, like, the kindest, gentlest men. You know, such good fathers. She was like, no, they were hell children. They burned down the neighbor's fucking barn. She was like, they were awful. Like, I thought I was going to commit myself to the, you know, hospital because I couldn't handle it. And then my husband had to be committed to the hospital. So I had to stay. And I was like, okay.
Okay.
And she was like, and I didn't. She was like, I don't know, but I didn't do anything different. And they turned out fine in the end.
I think this is, like, the same thing about first timers who are pregnant. If you've made it this far in the episode, bless you.
Yeah.
And sorry. It's going to be fine. But, you know, when you're first time pregnant and you're, like, planning for labor and delivery and parenting, and the person walks in who's got four kids and they go, you'll be fine. And that confidence of just, like, I did it. You can do it. And just having, like, an older person who's raise children. They are fine and functional now. Or sometimes they're not fine and functional, yeah. but they're like, listen, I got one fine functional one. I got one who's not. I parented them basically the same. Mm-hmm. Who knows? But what am I going to do about it now?
Yeah.
And they're like, what are you going to do about it? And I'm like, I don't know.
It's so valuable to have older friends who yeah. have been through it. You know, when Ivan and I first moved to the area, the first friends we made were pretty much all in their 60s and 70s. I don't know why. You know, farmer's market, probably. And it was – I love those friends. And, you know, I know this one couple who, one of their children, they had to cut out of their lives. He is very mentally unstable. He's harmful. He's horrible. You know, there's something very wrong and he will not accept help. And they tried for so long. And their other child grew up in the same house, same stuff, lovely, wonderful human.
Yeah.
You know, and they're like kind of your classic, like hippie parents, gentle parented, you know, before it was a thing. And like, they feel terrible about it because somehow they feel like maybe it's their fault still. But I don't think it was. I think he has, you know, a problem that they didn't cause. But, you know, seeing that is actually kind of hopeful for me in a way because I'm like, okay, like that does tell me there is some amount of control we don't have. And that's actually comforting in parenthood.
Yeah. I have some Romanian neighbors who I absolutely love and their kid is 18 now and he's great. He's perfectly mm-hmm. fine. But I was having a hard time with Theo when he was like 3, you know.
Yeah.
And I just broke down to her one day. I saw her outside walking and I was just like, Maddie, it's awful and blah, blah, blah. And she said, listen, in her Romanian accent that I will not try to copy. She was like, listen, George was terrible. He was terrible. And he was born with a problem with authority, which means parenting him yeah. never works. So we just gave up and he's going to be who he's going to be. And I was like, what do you mean you just gave up? Oh, my God. And she's like, I mean, we literally just gave up. Like, we just did not discipline him anymore. And he ended up self-regulating very well. And she's like, good. Why are we going to stress ourselves out? Because he was born with authority problems. And I was like, what is yes. happening in Romania? I think maybe I should just give up. That's an option.
Yeah.
What? And I guess you can do whatever you want as a parent. Mm-hmm. Maybe we're trying too hard.
Maybe.
Is that possible?
Yeah, I think it's possible. And I think I'm still working on letting go of the expectation that my parents had for me.
Mm-hmm.
And let me explain that. So it's like I don't impose those on my children, but I feel them strongly every time we visit my family. And I'm reminded like, oh, like my children do not behave in the way that I was expected to. And I still don't parent like I want them to, but it stresses me out that those expectations and where my kids' reality are at are not closer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Even though I don't want it to. Like, I don't want them to be quiet, well-behaved children, to be totally honest. Like, I don't. I want them to be wild, amazing, passionate kids, even if it is a little bit harder, you know, because I think they're going to be more stable adults if they don't repress their emotions for 18 straight years. but it's still like there's something I can't let go of about that. And that's like one of the more stressful things. I don't know.
I think it's important to do a parenting inventory. And I think we're going to bring an expert on next week.
Yes, please.
Let's bring on an expert to ask about toddler behavior stuff and maybe, dare I say, parenting styles and toddler behavior stuff. You know, I think that this is one of the hardest things about motherhood. And I think breastfeeding can be used in good ways, and I think it can also be manipulative mm-hmm. in a lot of ways for kids that age and also for us. You know, it's like, are we relying on it too much? Is it like, what are our complicated feelings around nursing a toddler? You know, what does it say about us that we get feelings of rejection when they don't want a nurse? Like, how do we transition from a baby to a child gracefully and parent that, you know. So I definitely am interested in hearing about what this expert has to say.
Me too, because it just feels like we are absolutely drowning every day.
I feel parenting. Like I'm shooting in the dark here.
How many metaphors can we throw at
it? I don't know. We're building the plane while we're flying it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, dear. Well, I'm excited for that, for some professional guidance. I hope you guys are too. Thanks for sticking with us.
We do have an award.
Yes, we do.
Let's take another minute to thank a sponsor, and then we're going to get to our favorite segment and close it out on a positive note.
Woohoo!
I think this has all been largely positive, but...
At least relatable, maybe. Relatable? I hope it's relatable. Good God.
I hope we're not the only two out there that feel like this. But yes, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we have a really cool award. So stay tuned. Do you have a baby that struggles with excessive gas, fussiness, colic, and general sleep problems?
Well, I did, but then I used Avivo probiotics.
Avivo is a pediatrician-approved probiotic for babies that's even used in NICUs on the gentlest tummies all over the United States.
It is an amazing, unique product that contains a specific strain of B. infantis that we need to digest human milk oligosaccharides.
That's actually 15% of breast milk that your baby will then be able to utilize, whereas if you don't have the bacteria, there's so much extra in the gut, which is why American babies poop like 10 times a day more than babies that are colonized with B. infantis.
I have personally seen this probiotic help my baby and the babies of many of my clients, and frankly, if we're dealing with any of these symptoms, it is the first thing I go to.
And the best part is, it's not like any other probiotic that we would take when we're sick or taking antibiotics, where you take it every time you go through antibiotics for the rest of your life. If you give your baby Avivo in the first 100 days of life, it actually colonizes in their gut and becomes a part of their immune system, which then they can pass to the next generation. And this is how we make change, y'all. Avivo is amazing because it's going to safeguard your baby's health today and give you peace of mind in the future.
Check out Avivo Probiotics through the link in our show notes.
And enter code MILKMINUTE for $10 off. Welcome back, everyone. It's time.
Yeah, thanks for staying till the end of our absolute chaos episode.
It's been a long time since we've done one.
It's on theme for toddlerhood, though. Let me just say, this felt like a day with my toddler.
Yeah, it did. There was crying. There's going to be lots of snacking.
And, like, lovely laughter, you know.
Yeah.
The laughter of a one-year-old is the best.
It is the best. The yuck-yuck belly laugh.
Oh, my gosh. Like, Lyra was belly laugh. Like, so she found... one of those really boring, like, Montessori toys that I'd forgotten about, and we were trying to find the pieces for her. Every time we found a piece, it was, like, absolute joy, belly laughter.
Oh,
it's like, this is great.
That's awesome. That really is awesome. All right. Well, today's award goes to one of our lovely patrons, Christina P. Christina says, I changed jobs and took an entire week off in between and kept the baby back from daycare. I am a less than enougher for 3 5-ounce bottles, which is what he takes. This Monday, on my first day back to work, after taking her week off, I pumped my usual number of times and managed to get 6 extra ounces.
Nice.
Being able to have him remove my milk fixed my ever-dwindling supply. Going to take him out Thanksgiving week and Christmas week so we could keep this up at least through the winter.
Good job.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, I love that.
I mean, isn't that kind of funny, though? Like, our pumping output directly makes us feel a certain way about our value, you know? And then all of a sudden, rest... and nursing directly is the remedy. And you're like,
I love
oh,
when
who
that
knew?
Works because it feels too simple to work a lot of the time. And it's so lovely that it really can be effective.
Yeah, of course. I wrote out a few awards. I'll let you pick one.
Okay. I think we're going to give her the Tune In and Pump Up Award. I like that.
That's what cute. I thought you would pick. All right, Christina, Tune In and Pump Up. Good for you. Way to be in tune with your body. Yeah. Take all the breaks that you need to keep your nursing journey going. And you've got one lucky little dude there.
All right. Well, can I read the review?
Please.
Okay, great. All right. So this is a review from Apple, from Mama to RG. And it is titled, Absolute Must Listen. I don't think I would have made it to 8 months and counting breastfeeding without Heather and Maureen. They are true and brilliant professionals offering sound research advice because they care about babies and moms. But more importantly, they are non-judgmental, realistic, and hilarious.
Thank you.
They recognize one size does not fit all, and that makes their advice so accessible and helpful.
Isn't that nice?
That's a good one for this episode.
It is kind of funny reading such nice things about yourself.
I know.
Especially it feels a little braggy.
Like so bad today. No, it's good. Because we stepped into the studio today, both in tears.
Thanks for making our day a little bit better, giving us a space to be ourselves, professional or not.
Yeah.
And you guys really do keep us going as we move into our third holiday season, well, by the way, with
crazy.
The podcast,
that's
which
wild.
Is super wild. We've grown. You've grown. You could be on your second baby by now, for the love of God.
Oh, my God. Holy cow. Well, thanks for listening to another episode of the Milk Minute Podcast.
The way we change this big system that's not set up for lactating families is by educating ourselves, our friends, and our loved ones.
If you guys want to support the chaos and good advice that is us, you can join us on Patreon, patreon.com/milkminutepodcast. You get like bonus stuff and merch, and we tell you things about our lives that we don't say here, which means they're really juicy.
and early and ad-free episodes.
Lots of good stuff. So join us there, please. Please. All right. Till next time.
It's a myth.